Good evening, friends. I'm happy to be here tonight to greet you again in the name of our lovely risen Lord, who is in the glory of his resurrection and his presence tonight to bless us. So happy to be here. And to have this privilege, my son just said a few moments ago while standing in the room while we were waiting to come in, when he started singing, "Only Believe," he looked down at me and I was praying. I looked up and said, "Daddy, how many times has that called you to the platform?" Thousands across the world in all different kinds of languages. I heard the natives of Africa with about 15 different vocabularies calling it, all singing "Only Believe" at once, and had to keep them fenced off when trying to travel by the war. And yet they all sang together "Only Believe." So what a wonderful. I said, "Yes, some glorious day, if I go before Jesus comes, and when they're putting me down in the ground, they're going to sing 'Only Believe.' If you see it in the newspaper or something, or hear it on the radio or whatever, somebody tells you, stop just a minute and think of that song, 'Only Believe.' Because I believe that someday I'll come out of there, just as sure as I go in." Someone said not long ago, said to me, said, "Brother Branham, I would like to talk to you about an insurance policy." My insurance is fine. I have nothing against it, but I don't carry any of this kind of insurance. And so the agent seems to think that I'm a little off about it, but maybe I am. But I was mistreated. My father was one time by an insurance company. He sold us a 20-year endowment full pay off so much at a certain time. When he comes down, it's supposed to be worth $500, and he misread it. It was worth $1.06. So, and I just never take any insurance. So then, seeing how my old dad had to work for that, and then be like that, my brother and I. And I said, a friend of mine said, "Billy, I just want to sell you some insurance." I said, "Oh, Wilmer, I don't want." I said, "I've got insurance." "Oh," he said, "you have?" I said, "Yeah, I got insurance." And he said, "My wife looks kind of mean, as if to think, are you sorry?" And I said, "No, I have insurance." He said, "What insurance do you have, Billy?" I said, "Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine." And so he said, "Well, that's all right, Billy, but that won't put you in the graveyard." I said, "It'll take me out. That's the thing." I'm not worried about getting in there. It's getting out. So I'm going to have one to take me in there instead of, take me out there instead of one to put me in there. "The blessed assurance of Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood." What a beautiful thing that is. Well, now, tonight I promise, by the grace of God, I'm going to let you out early. I don't preach by notes. I don't premeditate anything you're going to say. And it's just inspiration, and just as I see it, I just say it, and as long as you keep coming, I just keep talking, so I just don't know any better. And so I ought to have mercy on those that were going to work on things. My brothers and sisters, I certainly feel ashamed of keeping you that long, and I don't mean to do it, but I just love you, and I think you're a very fine listening audience, and it's a pleasure for any minister to preach to an audience like we've had here each night. And I appreciate that. I'm not saying that complimentary. I'm saying that because it's the truth. And if it wasn't the truth, then I wouldn't say nothing at all. So just go ahead. But yeah, I think I'd rather give you a little rosebud now than a whole wreath after your day. So it's best to do it right now. And it's been a pleasure. I've been a little nervous because since I've been up here, and I haven't been able to carry my text and so forth and to minister like I should. I had started something. My meetings has always been at low ebb for a long time. I've seen it. So I asked the Father to help me, and I've seen the dropping down in my mail, dropped from 1,600 letters a day down to about 15 letters a day, because no one could put their finger on me. I was gone somewhere and waiting till the Lord told me for a move before it ever moved, and it wasn't an act of faith then. It was just simply just waiting, waiting, waiting. And the Lord kind of checked me up on that, so I purposed in my heart, man, if he would help me, I was going to do different. And just as you start to do something for God, then expect all the guns of hell to turn right on, you see. And I got poisoned the other night and almost slipped out of line. I've been real weak and nervous since I've been here. But the Lord has been good to me. I feel better and kind of coming out of it now. I've just been eating soft food or something because it upset me all through. I was just poisoned and broke out all over my body and everything. And I just trusted Him and He's seen me through. And I desire your prayers that He will continue. Not that I deserve to live, but because of the gospel is what I want to live for. And when that time comes, I want to try to do everything that I can and put all my life in. And from henceforth, I bypass brethren. My secretary called me and he said, Billy, it's not fair to the people. He said, you got a ministry. There's 400 major cities in America calling you right now, right on my desk. And said, besides putting every nation under the heavens is calling. And here you are, slip in, slip out, and turn to this one and that one just to make arrangements and just bypass around. Nobody knows where to catch you. See? You're out in the woods or down somewhere, gone here, or something like that. So, won't you settle yourself down and go on? So I prayed over it, and the Lord let me know if that was right. So we started right off, and I pray that God will help you, give you strength, and I'm depending on you up here prayer for me. I hear some handkerchiefs here to be prayed over. And tonight, I tried to give the preaching, if I could, just for a little bit, just a little text to talk to you, to get you better acquainted with the ministry. Tomorrow morning is a Christian businessman's breakfast. And I think ministers, wives, and what more is invited. Anybody who wants to come is invited. And many of you, brethren, perhaps are members of this fine organization of the Christian businessman. They have been very kind to me. I've spoke for them everywhere. And they have been very kind. Seaman Secretary, their president, and Minor Argabite, vice president, and many of the others, and Tommy Nicholson, as the editor of the paper. And I'm always happy to get to help them because it's in the line. Myself, when I was a Baptist and some of you full gospel people, the first thing each denomination wanted to come and join their ranks. I wouldn't do that. Because if you do what little influence I have, it shows it to one denomination. I try to stand right in the breach and say, we're brethren. All of us. We're brethren. And I'd like to see a united effort for all churches for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, that's my motive, is to keep that way. And just stand in the breach and don't join any certain denomination. Just stay in between so we can be brothers and not have any different feelings and say, well, now he's a Presbyterian or he's a Baptist or Pentecostal. I'm just your brother. That's all. And so your denominations are fine. They're dandy. I love them, every one. But they're not what takes you to heaven. Christ is what takes you to heaven. You're saved in Christ. So now, on these handkerchiefs, the greatest ministry that the Lord has given me almost is on handkerchiefs. Oh, I could spend hours just on telling about it. And we send out thousands of those a month all over the world. And I'm glad to see that you believe the Bible. Now, a lot of people, pour oil on them and anoint them. That's all right. That's fine. Whatever the Lord will bless, I'm for it. But if you watch in the scripture, it wasn't that Paul anointed them. They took them from his body. Acts 19, handkerchiefs and aprons. I believe Paul was a fundamentalist. I believe he's very scriptural on what he done. You know where I think he got that at? I think when he got that out of scripture where Elijah, when the Shunammite woman comes to him and asked about her baby, and Elijah told Gehazi to take his staff and go lay it on the baby. For Elijah knew what he touched was blessed. If the woman would just leave it the same way. So I think that's what Paul got his scripture for taking handkerchiefs and aprons from his eyes. However, these are some handkerchiefs that represent sick people. Before we go any farther, let's ask the Lord to bless these in their efforts. Thank you, brother. Now, kind of Heavenly Father, it's a privilege tonight to have to call you Father, to know that Father is ownership. And we love thee because thou dost own us, and we're not our own, for we have been bought by Christ, the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And in that we trust, and we thank thee for this Christian land where the doors are still open, and the gospel can be preached, and a freedom of speech and thought. And we thank thee for that. And now, tonight, these people have a right to bring these handkerchiefs as tokens of their faith. Way out across the land, maybe some old dad in a little apartment blind tonight. These handkerchiefs to go into him. Some mother take it to her baby that's raging with a fever. We don't know where they go, Father, but thou dost. I pray that you'll bless them. Bless the people that attack them. And now we're taught in the scriptures that one day when Israel had been cornered, they were trying to follow God. The great pillar of fire had led them down to the river. And there they were with their leader, Moses. And they were cornered. The mountain, the sea, and Pharaoh's army coming pursuing them. They were trapped. Nature trembled. Oh, what a scene. But it's at that time that God likes to come on the scene. The writer said he looked down through the pillar of fire with angry eyes at the Red Sea because it was cutting off the people from the promised land. And the sea got scared, and it moved back. And the children of God passed on through the bed of it on dry land towards the promised land. Father God, tonight as we send these handkerchiefs, it's a token of our faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. And we thank thee that we have this faith and the people have faith. And now when they're laid upon the sick body and they reach their destination where they are going, we pray that you'll look down through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And may the disease get scared of the tender body when they see this token. And may the people be liberated and taken on to the promise that God has said in his word, above all things, I would that you prosper in health. Grant it, Father. For that's the purpose we send them for. In the name of thy beloved child, the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. In the reading of the blessed word of the Lord Jesus tonight, I just love to read his word. And Sunday afternoon, I have a special message, if the Lord permits, as I want to speak Sunday afternoon over at the Music Academy on why doesn't people seek the Holy Spirit? See, what happens? And why don't they receive it? And what kind of time do they have receiving it? And bring out the unsaved ones for Sunday afternoon. It'll be a regular gospel message for Sunday afternoon. And Sunday night, the closing of this part of the campaign, I think Brother Hudson's going on. And our ministering brethren, you are here, and you, if you will, I am hoping someday to return. Now, Brother Hudson, the reason I'm here in this one church is because Brother Hudson is a bosom friend of mine, and he's tried for years to get me to come here. And I come not because that I'm pushing someone else off, but just for love for Brother Hudson. And I hope that someday you, my brethren, and you, the people of the churches, that your pastor may not could be here tonight or any time, give them my love and regards and let them know that someday I hope to return in a great union meeting where we can have, this is just the introduction. And on Sunday, if you will, brethren, announce it in your church on Sunday afternoon. So usually we close our service on Sunday night. And so at the church, go back when you're to the place that's in a big campaign. But this Sunday afternoon, if you don't have a program, bring your sinner friends and bring them out to the meeting, if you will. I'd be very glad for you to come. We'll do all we can to lead them to Christ. Now, and tomorrow morning breakfast, all of you come because I want to introduce to the businessman a little drama or at least towards the meeting in Christ. I want you to, or Christ in the meeting, rather. And if you can, come. Now, in the book of St. Matthew, and the 24th verse of the 12th chapter, I wish to read this for a way of text. And the queen of the south shall rise up in the day of judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, greater than Solomon is here. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now, how many love the word? Do you love it with all your heart? All of our faith is anchored in the word of God. And our faith has no other stable, anchored place but in the word of the law. And I'm so glad. See, faith can't find a resting place on the imaginary minds of man's self-made theologies. It's got to have its resting place in the eternal rock of God's word. There it anchors because God said so. He said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. So we can be assured that his word never fails. Now, we're going to speak about gifts tonight, and that's the reason I took tonight, and for this purpose, that we could kind of explain and take my time watching the clock and take my time and explain to you what I think gifts are. Now, the first place, the Bible says that gifts and callings are without repentance. It's something that God, by sovereign grace, puts into the church. See, God does that himself. It's a work and an act of God. And by foreknowledge, he predestinates these things to happen. Now, as I say, God is not willing that anyone should perish. But in the very beginning, God knew who would be saved and who would perish. Foreknowledge, they know that if he's the infant God, well, he certainly cannot, he's not willing that any should perish, but he knew from the beginning. He knew every fly, every flea, every person that would ever be on the earth, he knew them before the foundation of the world, because he's infant. And we know that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere, he covers all space, he's omniscient, he's all wisdom, he's omnipotent, he's all power. And that's the kind of a God that we serve. It's not some pagan idol. It is a living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus that covers the whole earth. And he can be everywhere, knows all things. He's got all wisdom and all power. What a wonderful God. And to know that it's not just some makeup. It's just not somebody's theology, but he lives with it, shows himself, and proves himself alive. Oh, should we not be the most happy people in the world? Our hearts should be racing swiftly and traveling around over the world and seeing the different nations with their gods and their idols and so forth and all their philosophies, and then know that they're all foolish. There's not a one. The founders are dead and in the grave and gone. And only one that can prove that their leader lives and reigns. Now they'll pause your hands. You tell them you got two can have joy. They have joy too. You say you can shout. You ought to see them shout. And you can say how happy you are. You'll see how happy they are. But our Jesus comes on the scene and does the same thing that he did when he was here before. So that proves that he lives. He is not dead. He's alive forevermore. And don't be afraid. He's at, no matter how many atomic bombs they have, how many hydrogen bombs, how much they speak of, this and this is going to happen. Don't be scared. God's at the wheel. He knows just how to stir. He knows just how it's coming out. So we don't have one thing to fear, but be just a lovely little carefree child who's looking up to Father every minute and depending on him to lead us, guide us, and to take us into our destination by grace. And by loving him that way, you wouldn't do nothing to harm him. While if you do anything to harm him, or all through the night, your hot tears would run down your cheeks in repentance. Because you wouldn't hurt Father for nothing. You wouldn't hurt your little baby. You'd hate to do that. You'd hate to hurt the feelings of your wife or your husband. How much more your Lord and Savior would you, if you love him? If you love your wife, you wouldn't hurt her. If you love your children, you wouldn't want to do anything wrong to them. And how about your Heavenly Father? So you see, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and though I have all knowledge and all wisdom, though I have faith to move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. See, where there's tongues, they shall cease, and where there's prophecy, it shall vanish, and knowledge shall vanish, and prophecy shall fail, and all these things. But when that which is perfect is come, it endures forever. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. So all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. See? Ever since by faith I saw that tree, thy glowing wounds defied, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. That's my theme, is love. Law works fear. Law is negative. Works is negative. But love is positive. It's absolutely positive. You can trust anybody when they love you. Not because they fear you, but because they love you. And that's how I trust him, because I know he loves me. And it's a love affair, and not a works affair of fear and if and if and if and if. There's no if to it. God's done it, and that settles it. So I love him for it. Now, gifts and calling are without repentance. God, all through the ages, has been represented on the earth through his prophets, through his kings, and it's always been the Spirit of God. If we had the time tonight to go down like the Joseph, dig out those nuggets and polish them up. I'm a typologist now. I love to get the old type. Not having an education, then I have to go to type. Because type, if I follow the type, if I was watching my shadow and I never seen myself, and I see what my shadow looked like, I have some idea of what I would look like. And that's what all the Old Testament was, a shadow of the New Testament to come. Now, if I see how God dealt with man there, I see how God will deal with man over here. I see what kind of a recompense of rewards or disobedience, I know what it will be over here. So all the old things was a shadow of the new to come. And how we love to go back in the Old Testament and dig up those old nuggets, prospect, you know, dig them out, polish them up, look at them, and every one of them will point to Calvary, the finished work. Everything of the Old Testament will point to the finished work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. How Joseph was a perfect type of Christ. How Moses was a type of Christ. Moses the lawgiver, the priest. How Joseph was the prince of prosperity. Everything he did prospered. When he was here on the earth, put him in the dungeon, everything prospered. Put him in Pharaoh's place, everything prospered. Wherever he went, he was the prince of prosperity. And when he comes again in his glory, the desert shall blossom as a rose, and we'll have more deserts, and everything will prosper in the great millennium when the prince of prosperity arrives. How wonderful. Notice how Joseph was loved of his fathers, hated of his brethren, sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, thrown into a ditch to be dead, taken up, and set at the right hand of the greatest commercial city in the world. No man could come to Pharaoh, only through Joseph. Jesus sold for 30 pieces of silver by his brethren and was taken up, sitting at the right hand of God, and no man can come to the Father except by the Son. And when Joseph went forth, there was a proclamation sign. Runners went before saying, bow the knee, Joseph is coming. All every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you do it now or your work long before you, whatever it is, someday you've got to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice it. How beautiful. How that in Moses, the lawgiver, how he was both a priest and lawgiver, and how he led the people. That was God in Joseph. That was God in Moses. Look at David. When he was dethroned and rejected in his city, and he climbed out up the Mount of Olives and rejected by his own son,
and his people had turned him down. And as he went up the hill, he went up weeping, looking back over Jerusalem, weeping. What was it? It was the Spirit of Christ in him. When the Son of David came, some 800 years later, he sat on the same hill, rejected of his own, and wept over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have covered you as a hen covers her chick, and you would not. All the Old Testament, just a foreshadow of the New Testament, the things to come. Someone was speaking, I was in Africa not long ago, and they have a very funny, it's a Texas thing in America even, all baptism. They baptize three different times. One group of them baptized three times forward, the other baptized three times backward. And one they baptize one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And when they do it, they simply bring their creed into a pagan creed. There's no such thing. See? And then, when they, then that upsets the Jew, he says, which one of them is your God? Is God the Father your God? Is God the Son? Or is God the Holy Ghost? Anyone that knows God and knows his Bible knows those three are one. Not three gods, one God. Manifested in three persons. And otherwise, so that the one maybe who doesn't understand too well would know, it's three offices of the self same God. God the Father is in a form of life. No man could touch him. He come right down, condensing, and come into the Son. It was God the Son, the same God. My Father is in me. It's him that doeth the work. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Oh, I came from God, said Christ, and I go back to God. He did. It's God all along. Only three offices: the Fatherhood, Sonship, the Holy Ghost dispensation. It's all the self same God. Jesus said that day, you know that I'm the Father in me, and I in you, you in me. It's God in us, coming first into a virgin body, virgin born. To make a way for the shedding of the blood to reconcile many brethren back to himself. God represented in human flesh. Is it? Yes. That was God in David. That was God in Joseph. That was God in Daniel. It was God within a manger. It was God in a manger. But when he came into Christ, he became in the fullness of his being. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body. All the Spirit of God dwells in him. It's like this. Now, and as he goes out, one will frustrate the other. Did you speak with tongues? Or did you prophesy? If you, now that's where the people get these gifts all mixed up. See? One will say, because you don't do this, you haven't got it. Or you don't do this, you haven't got it. Now you're wrong on that. God is like a great diamond. Listen, so we can really understand this. God is like a great diamond. And each diamond has a tip, or the diamond has tip plates. This big master diamond. And lay it in the light. Great rays of light shines off from it. And those are God's messengers, gifts. All of it comes back to the self same God. The gifts of healing, the gifts of preaching, the gifts of prophesying. All the spiritual gifts of the body are just rays or reflections off of the self same God. See that the diamond? For to one is given knowledge, to another wisdom, to another gift of healing, to another gift of prophecy, but all by the self same Spirit. The great diamond and the big rays of light that we see shoot this way and shoot that way all declare one thing. There is a God that lives and reigns. Amen. And as long as you see those things in operation, know that God still is the same. Yes. yesterday, today, and forever. If I could go out, I used to preach at the Baptist Church at Milltown, Indiana, and I'd come home at night. There used to be an old nightingale set out there, and he was singing. I know it was on a stormy night. He didn't sing as much as he did on a moonlight night. So I began to study of the nightingale, and I come to find out that he looks up towards the heavens, and he watches, and as long as he can see a star, he sings, because he knows somewhere the sun is shining. Oh, my! What a lesson we can learn today! And as long as you can see the Spirit of God operating through one of these little rays of light, there's a star that still lives and reigns. The nightingale will throw his head up and sing his body for it when he can see one star. Because he has to watch the star to sing by. And no wonder then it brings us joy. Oh, it's a well bubbling up. When I was game ward in Indiana, I used to go to a certain place and drink. It was a spring, just bubble all the time. I thought it was the happiest spring I ever seen in my life. It was constantly bubble, 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 bubble. So one day I sat down to the side of that spring, and I said, I'd like to speak to you, Mr. Spring. Every time that I come by here, you're so happy, jumping, bubbling, carrying on the way you do. I said, maybe it's because that the animals, the deer, come by and drink from you. What makes you happy? No, he could talk and say no. I said, well, maybe it's because perhaps some other animal would drink. No, that isn't why I'm bubbling. Well, I say, maybe it's because that you just bubble when I come by. And that's what makes you bubble, because I drink from you. He would say, no, that isn't why. I say, well, what makes you bubble, Mr. Spring? If he could speak back to me, he'd say, now, Mr. Branham, it isn't me bubbling. It's something behind me pushing me and making me bubble. So I think that's where it is with the church that's born again of the Spirit of God. It isn't so much of a bubbling. It's something in there making it bubble. Bubbling up the everlasting life fountain of the water of life. Freshly coming every day. From the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ Jesus, who were planted in him through the baptism of the Spirit. Amen. Now, we have the Spirit by these gifts by oceans, but Christ had it without measure. We had it by measure. To one is given knowledge, to another is given wisdom. There are in the church five offices, apostles or missionaries, either one, both the same thing, words in one sense, and apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. God set them in the church. But because one should be an apostle, the prophet could say you're not in it, or the pastor to the evangelist, and so forth. But they're all little lines of God that's put into the church for the perfecting of the saints. And in every local body is 9 spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, 9 spiritual gifts in each body. They also operate separately, but of the same self-spirit. Now, but in Christ was the fullness. Now, if you see a man here prophesying and another a pastor, one evangelist and another teacher. Now you think that you're not in it because it's just one of them rings off of God. It all points right back to God, that big master diamond. Don't forget that. And now if the Methodist is having a revival and they're getting souls saved, and you're a Baptist, don't say they haven't got any light over there, because their light is the same as you are. See? It's all a light from God's big master diamond. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, working, getting souls saved and ready for the coming of the Lord. Now in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had all the Spirit of God in him. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. That's the reason that people couldn't understand him. Sometimes he'd say something, they looked like he'd come around and say something different. It was him speaking and the Father speaking. See? They were, and even the disciples could not understand him. And right at the last, they said, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly. Now we believe by this that you know all things. No man needs to teach you." Jesus said, "Do you now believe?" After all that time, they couldn't get the why. That sometimes he'd say this and say that. It was him and the Father speaking. Now, notice closely. Now, God dwelling in Christ used his voice to speak by. Jesus said in his miracle, "Very, very, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. But what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise." Is that right, St. John 5:19? Then he did not do nothing within himself. No prophet ever did anything within himself. Until first God showed what to do. What a mistake Moses made when he went out without the vision of God and spoke down the Egyptians, thought he'd liberate them with his hands because he thought he had a lot of faith and could do it because he was called for the job. No matter how much you're called for the job, God has to do the leading. See, he failed with all his schooling and his military mind and his training as a great Egyptian leader. But yet it failed because God had a program and we've got to work according to God's program. No matter what we do, how smart we are, we got to humble ourselves and work according to God's program. Amen. So he failed. And God had to keep him another 40 years to educate him. So what it was that he must forget himself. And it's not him, but it was God. Now, notice, many times people misunderstand. Now, I have to bring this in here to compare something. In a comparison. And I hope you don't think it to be a carnal comparison, because I don't mean it upon the operation or something that I do or you do, but that it might increase your faith that Jesus has raised from the dead, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and manifests himself in the same way here in his church that he did when he was here on earth. Oh, I hope you see it. Now look. In him dwelt the fullness. He was the diamond himself. Notice, when God wanted to use his gift, he spoke to the Lord Jesus in the time of Mary and Martha's trouble when Lazarus was going to get sick. Now remember, Jesus being questioned said he did not do nothing till the Father showed him first what to do.
Right.
Keep that. Now, that is God's eternal word. And if Jesus told something that wasn't so, then he wasn't Messiah. So that has to be settled the truth. When a man said not long ago, he believed the devil could heal. Because what he could see. I said, Jesus said he could not heal.
No.
So that settles his sickness. He cast out sickness, came and divided. So Jesus said he can't heal, he can't heal. That settles it. You must believe God's eternal word. Regardless of what things look like, you believe the word anyhow. You don't look at circumstance. What if Abraham would have looked at the circumstance? Isaac would have never been born. But Abraham called those things which were not as though they were. And if we are the seed of Abraham, we have the same kind of faith towards God's promise. Those things that's contrary to God's promise, we don't see them and ignore them. Amen. Well, that's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. To believe God's word, regardless of what circumstances, that has nothing to do with it. Abraham called those things, and he said, "Oh, the promise looked like it farther away and farther away." Abraham got stronger all the time, giving praise to God, more than ever. When he told me he was going to have a baby, I imagine he got the pins and the bird eye and everything ready. But when the first month came along, there's nothing new. "How you feeling, Sarah?" "No different." He said, "Glory to God, we're going to have it anyhow."
Yeah.
That's it, though. That's it.
Yeah.
Sure. Second month passed, "How you feeling, Sarah?" "No different." "Glory! We're going to have it anyhow." First year passed, "No different." "Hallelujah, have it anyhow." 10 years passed, "Glory to God, we're going to have it anyhow." You got a little longer time. We claim to be Abraham's seed. But if God don't answer just like that to you, well, I guess there's nothing to it. Abraham's seed. Shame on you. He's 100 years old. He still said we're going to have it anyhow. And he did.
Good. Because it was God's promise.
That's what Abraham's seed does. And if we being dead in Christ, we take on Abraham's seed and our heirs according to the promise, then what kind of spirit should be in you? I'm afraid, friends, as I talk to your pastor today, churches get the pastor's spirit instead of God's spirit. That's right. We don't need one another's spirit. There's no need of that. We need God's spirit. Watch the congregation act the same way. That's the reason. You know, the Bible said, I'll give you a new spirit and then give you my spirit. And many people get that new spirit just to try to live right and do right and never get the Holy Spirit and try to act by it. That is the way you get in trouble.
Right.
The new spirit, just a new life, that has nothing, that's good, but God has to give you a new spirit so you can get along with His spirit.
Yeah.
The old spirit you had, you couldn't get along yourself, let alone God's spirit. So He gives you a new spirit, and you see, people, that's the reason, friends, and as I do as evangelist, I try to say in the Word that you get the spirit of the Word. Not based upon some man's theology, but thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I was up to answer you under the presence of all of you at the day of judgment. You must take the spirit of God, that spirit of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, which is the Holy Spirit, we being dead in Christ, take on Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. We have the same kind of faith that Abraham had. And call everything contrary to God's word as though it was not. God made the promise, I accept it, that settles it. That's all. No matter how I feel, what it looks like, anything else, God said so, and that settles it. There's the children of Abraham as the heirs according to the promise. Now, notice, when Jesus is here on earth, He said, I do nothing till the Father shows me. He can look out over the audience, and when the Father was showing somebody, He could tell him, your blood is new, you touch my garment, the blood makes you stop. He could do those things. Someone would stand before Him and come up to Him, and He'd say, well, you're a good man, you're an honest man. How'd you know me, Rabbi? Before Philip called you when you were under the tree, I saw you praying. Same chapter, Tom Peter came up to him and said, why, your name is Simon. Said, you're the son of Jonas. He said, I'm going to rename you and I'm going to call you Peter. How did he know him, where he come from, who he was? The Father had showed him. He said so. Everything he did, the Father showed him. Now what? When God was going to use His own gift, He knew where it was at. Christ was God's gift. I'm talking of Jesus, the body, the Son now. And when He wanted to use His own gift, He called Him away from Lazarus. And He said, come over and pray for Lazarus. People that had come out of the great Orthodox Church to follow what was so called a fanatic, a holy roller. That's exactly what he was called. And all the early Christians was called heresy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So they were all called that, and they come out of the church to follow him. And he lived with them. And then, when they sent for him to come pray for the loved one that was sick to death, he refused to come. What would you do to your pastor? I'll go join the Methodist. That's what I'll do. If the Methodist does that, I'll go back to the Presbyterian. That's the reason. If you've got a good man of God and he's God's servant, stay with him. But if he is a servant of God, get rid of him and get somebody that is. That's the only way to do it. Have faith in your pastor. That's true. And you'll see the miracles of God happen if you've got faith in him. But he can only help you as you have faith in him. Now, Lazarus is dying. They said again. Jesus just moved on. Why? He knew what was going to happen. Then when the fulfilling of days that the Father had showed him, which he said, I did nothing until he showed me. Then when he seen that days was accomplished, he turned and said to his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Well, they thought he was taking rest. Well, he does well. Said, he talked in their language. He said, he's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because they would be persuading him to pray for him and do the very thing that God had told him not to do. See? Doctor, if you wait now over here until he's dead and in the grave 4 days and come back and then raise him up from the dead. And Jesus had to leave and obey the Father. Now, you believe that?
Yes.
The Bible said he did nothing until the Father showed him. And here's what he was doing. This, and he's seen then. After the days of the conflict, he noticed he'd have stayed there. They'd have been kept in, oh, Jesus, you mean to say that you're going to let your buddy die like that? The doctors just turned him down. His story said he died of hemorrhages of the lungs and so forth. So if he died, oh, you're going to let your friend die? And you mean you won't even pray for him? Nope, he would pray for him. See, he said, I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. But I go with him. Watch him coming to the grave. When he came up to the grave, he said, Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me already. But for Jesus, stand by, I said. He knew what was going to happen. Him and the Father had talked over. He had showed him because he said he did nothing until the Father showed him. He said, I pray just for an example. For these to stand by, I said it. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
And a man had been dead 4 days, stood on his feet and lived again. Amen.
Amen.
A woman said to me not long ago, some year or two ago, she said, Reverend Branham, she said, you brag too much on Jesus. I said, oh, no. No. She said, yes, you do. So you brag too much on Jesus. So you try to make him deity. I said, he was deity. He said, if I prove to you he wasn't nothing but a man by the Bible, will you believe it? I said, if the Bible says so. Well, she said, I'll prove it. She said, in St. John the 11th chapter, when he went down to the grave of Lazarus, the Bible said he would. Well, I said, what's that got to do with it? Well, she said, he couldn't have been deity and Christ. I said, you failed to see who you are. He was both God and man. That was a man weeping. But when he stood to the side of the grave, straightened his little figure up, he was the only man that ever could say, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Said that to Martha. Liveth thou this? She said, yea, Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God that was to come into the world. Think of that instant. She had a right to brain. But when she heard, now Martha being kind of dilatory, but she showed herself there what she's really made of. She run right out to him, asked all the critics, and she run and fell down before him. Now, if it had been up today, she said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. Why did you leave us in this kind of shape? And my poor brother went out there dead 4 days. See, that's the reason God can't do nothing. You educated people know so much. Oh, you got it all worked out. You know where everything should be. But Martha just knows to run out to him. What? She fell down in front. She said, Lord, that's what he was. Lord, amen. I think she had read the Shunammite woman. When she went out to the prophet, she knew that God was in that prophet. If she could ever get to that prophet, she'd find out while her child died. That's the reason she said when she got the prophet, she said, God did it for me. I don't know what she's worried about. She said, is all well with me and with thy husband with the child? The woman said, all is well. Amen. I like that. It's come to the spot. Amen. Martha said, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. He said, thy brother shall rise again. He said, yes, Lord. I know he'll raise again in the last day. He was a good boy. The Jews believe in the general resurrection of the last day, especially the Pharisees. He said, I know he'll raise the last day. He said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, I know that whatever he's dead, he's buried, he's rotten out there in the grave, he sinketh down. But says, I know that even now, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. Oh, my. Something has to take place. Even now, Lord. Even now. Though he's dead. Though he's in the grave. Though he's thinking. But I know that you're just exactly what you said you were. There's a penitent soul before the Creator. The wheels are coming together. Something Maybe the doctor says you're going to die. But even now, can you speak to me, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions on your confession? The doctor said, I'm going to die. But even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. You say, they tell me I'll never see you again. I'm blind. But even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. He's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions on what you profess. And you've got a right to profess any redemptive blessing that he's died for. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. That's right. He was a man when he was crying. But when he spoke to a man that had been dead for 4 days, his soul was a 4 days journey. I don't know what it was, neither do you. But wherever it was, corruption knew it, creator, and the soul knew it, maker. And a man had been dead for 4 days, stood on his feet and lived again. That was more than a man. That was the divine God. When he come down off the mountain hungry, looking over a tree to find something, he was a man hungry. But when he took 5 biscuits and 2 pieces of fish and fed 5,000, that was more than a man. That was God. He can do that, man. He was a master diamond. He was a man. When he laid out there on the ship that night with virtue out of his and healing and preaching to the day, until the 10,000 devils of the sea swore they'd drown him. That little old ship like a bottle stopper out there on that sea. The devil said, we got him. And the helm broke and the sails down and the oars gone. And they woke him. He was a man asleep. But when he put his foot on the rail of the boat, looked up and said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him. That was more than a man speaking. That was God speaking out of his son. He was deity. When he died, standing that morning, and here come the little woman squeezing around. Here.
You mean to tell me you're going to become a holy roller? Why, you go back up. She just brushed it aside. She had her heart put on meeting Jesus. So, brushing aside, everything was contrary. She got to where he was. She touched his garment and turned around and walked back. Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" He said, "I don't know who touched me." What was it? God hadn't showed him nothing. That's right. But the woman's faith had touched that gift. He said, the Peter rebuked him, said, "Everybody touched me." He said, "But I got weak. Virtue went from me. Somebody touched me." And he looked around. Then, where that weakness is coming from? A stream of hurt, a spirit picked out the little woman where she's sitting. Hallelujah. Saved. Just the same every time it's translated, the same thing, sozo, both physical and spiritual. She was saved from her blood issue. Thy faith has saved thee. What was it? The woman, with her faith, had contacted God through the Son of God and had drawn from the Son of God her desire. That was the woman using God's gift. On the platform when God solemnly gives a vision. Now he said there that in that instance he said that I got weak. But how much greater miracle was it when God used his gift? Here it is. It's like when we were boys, we used to go to the carnival, or a circus it was. And say, for instance, I was a little taller than you. And there's a hole up here. We could peek through it. You couldn't see it, yet you were stronger than me. God makes us different ways. And maybe I can stand on my tiptoes and grab a hold of the top of the fence and pull up real hard. I'm answering some questions now that you're asking. Brother Branham, how is it that these things happen? How can you say to this one out here? Now, in Scripture, you know Jesus did the same thing. It's not me, it's Him. And if you didn't have the faith to reach and get it, it'll never happen. It's your faith. If you ever get anything from God, it'll never come to a preacher or a priest. It'll come to your individual faith in the finished works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Divine healing isn't touching a totem pole or oil or something other. It's sovereign faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, Christ is all finished. It's your faith. God gives things that you're preaching His Word, sending preachers, He puts gifts. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be healthy. He died for that purpose. And He wants you to see it. And He does everything that there is, even appearing Himself to prove it to you. Still, people sit back and say, "Well, it's mental telepathy. It's mind reading. It's of the devil." And the Jews said the same thing. When they seen it done, they said, "Well, the woman at the well, he told her sin that she's doing." When he told Philip down there that he saw Nathaniel under the tree when he, before he come over there, the Jews said, "He's Beelzebub." Yeah. Jesus said, "I'll forgive you, but when the Holy Ghost is coming does that, you speak a word against that, it'll never be forgiven you." Prophesying if the Holy Ghost had come, though, He's raised from the dead and He's here in the form of the Holy Ghost. The same Jesus. The things that I do shall you do. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. God in you. Your faith looks to Him. And He's got gifts and so forth in the church that contact that. That's why they pat you from the platform sometimes. Not me. See, it's the physical part. It's the part that you do. God shows a gift and it just shows us a place to go and say, "You go right there and I'll go to Denver. You all read the paper, mysterious things happened on the street." I was over there. That's what it was. See? Nobody knew it. He just told me to go over there. Many places. My followers and things know about it. You'll tell me go somewhere, stand on the street a certain time. You'll be a certain thing happen. It'll happen just exactly that way. Nobody knows where it comes from, what about it. Nobody knows. I just go ahead and do what he tells me to do. Well, that don't bother me. But right here on the platform, just one vision will just take the life out of you. Why is it? It's you. Look at Lazarus. He said, "I got weak when I raised Lazarus."
But when the woman touched his garment for a blood issue, he got weak where a man was raised from the dead after being dead 4 days and never got weak. What was the matter? God uses gifts, and a person using God's gifts. That's what does it. That's the reason he could perceive. It was their faith moving, and just like here. Jesus is the whole, all the water in the ocean. This gift is just a spoonful out of that. But if it's ocean water, the same chemicals will be in the spoonful as in the whole ocean bowl. See what I mean? The same quality. What is it to do? To magnify some man or some church? No, sir. It's to magnify Jesus Christ. Right. If it's given any other, then that God will make the answer for the day of judgment.
Right.
I wouldn't say take the gift, because they're without repentance. Gifts and callings. But I'll notice. Now, with the carnival. Maybe I was, that's all over here now, where's the carnival? And maybe none of these sea visions. I don't know. Maybe you'd be some other part, but we're all one big body. There's a lot of pastors sitting here. They're preachers. I can't preach. I wasn't called as a preacher. They can teach. I'm not a teacher. See? I'm called a sea vision. Well, now maybe, and here we're, put it before you'll understand it. Here's a one man standing, short, strong. That's what he is. He can lift up a big stuff and walk away with it. I'm tall and skinny. I couldn't do it. See? But God made him that way for his work. He made me this way for this work. Now we're trying to look behind the curtain of time. Well, perhaps I'd be the one to do it. Now, what do? I jump way up and grab a hold of a little short fella. He couldn't do that, and I couldn't lift his load. See what I mean? Maybe you preach. Maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're an evangelist. You don't see vision. I see vision. I'm none of that. See? But God has set in the church all these things for the perfecting of the body. Now, do you follow me? Now, I jump up tall because I'm the tallest. I get a hold of it. Now, here's on the platform. I pull real hard. I look through the hole. What do you see, Brother Bennett? A giraffe. Wow. Where's the one? Oh, giraffe. Do you see anything else, Brother Bennett? Well, no. Look again. I jump way up, grab a hold. What do you see? I see a camel. What else do you see, Brother Branham? Oh, my. See? Now, that's what you're doing. You are pulling. You got a... Here's a person on the platform. What is it? We're standing there. I'm yielding myself. The Father just... See, I'm just yielding myself. And you are sitting out there in the audience. And you're saying, God, let him speak to me. Let him speak to me. I know there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is, but I know where my trouble is. If he'll speak to me, I believe it. I believe that you are the same. If he knows me, then I know the man don't know me. Then I believe it's you. What's that doing? Is it? Yes. The lady sitting here, she has a so-and-so. She was just praying for... See what I mean? But now, that's in the meeting. But when home... Here's two boys that formed the FBI outfit to come to follow me to see if that was right. These two boys sitting right here. That's right. Ask them what happened. Well, he's more visions at home than there is in the meeting. God's using his gift then, but now, spending years, you use his gift. I just yield to it, and you're the one that uses it. See? I just yield myself to the Spirit. That's the reason that picture was taken. That's the reason it's hanging in Washington, D.C. In the hall of religion tonight, the only supernatural being was ever scientifically proved to be taken. They've done a lot of phony things, but there's an FBI document of that, of George J. Lacy. He said the light struck the lens, it was there. That's all. And he's right here now. See? And now the only thing, when I know it's close, I just heal myself, and then you pull. See what I mean? But now when God, say now God's going to use his gift, I take it back to the carnival. Then, here comes the ringmaster along and says, what's the matter? I said, well, I was looking over the fence. Said, well, you're a pretty tall guy, I'll just lift you up. So then when he does that, he lifts me right up with his hands like this, or better than half the neck, says, you see, here's the carnival coming this way, and there's all these circuses. It's going to go through here and go out there, come back down. I'm not tired when it sets down. He showed me the whole thing. See? I'm not tired. He lifted me up. Then I come out of them kind of visions. It don't bother me. But when you go to pulling, you're pulling from the string. See what I mean? Do you understand me now? Now, that's what the woman does. Reason he felt weak, the woman pulled from God the things that she wanted from Christ. Now, quickly, we're going right to the point. Gifts and calling set in the church are to magnify
and to make a people ready. Now, I'm coming to my text. I went way around it, but just about 5 minutes now in the text. Now, listen real closely. Now, God gave a gift in the time of Solomon. And Solomon had a gift of wisdom. He was smart by wisdom of God, not of his own, but of God. He asked God for that, and God gave that to him. And if any gift of God will be recognized to be the truth. And everybody going around was finding out what this was, a talk coming about it, and old Solomon. You read 2 Chronicles, the 9th chapter, when you go home. And then way down in Sheba, the queen, a wonderful woman, listen close now, everybody, perhaps somebody was telling her, you should go up to Palestine, the great God of heaven. Now, she was a pagan. Well, the great God of heaven has blessed the man and given him a gift. And his name's Solomon. You should see the power of this gift of the God of Israel. So many people telling her, you know, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Everybody come by, a traveler passed by through Sheba. Why, did you hear of, oh, we come to Palestine. It's great. God has given a great gift up there. It kept on to the queen and said, you know what? I believe I'll go see for myself. There's the way to do it. Don't stand up there, I don't believe it. See, well, her name is tonight immortal. She's saved. But her action, what? Toward God's gift. That's the reason Martha got her brother restored back to life. Her faith and action toward God's gift. That was the way the woman got her blood issue healed. Her faith toward God's gift. And the Queen of Sheba, she said, I may be wrong, but all this, if it is the truth what I hear, it must be marvelous. So I'll go. Do you realize what that woman had to do? She was probably at least 3 months in the desert. A woman. Not with an air-conditioned room, but sitting on a camel. You realize what a sacrifice? And tonight we can hear of God's gift and won't walk across the street. No wonder she'll raise up and condemn this generation. But she wanted to know. It was worth more than life to her. Not only that, but she took riches and gifts to give to it if it was sold. Now, this little woman set out with all these riches, spices and talents of gold and everything, to give to the cause of God if it was sold. She didn't know it was sold. She just heard. So faith cometh by hearing. So she goes to the meeting to find out. Look what they had to risk. As ambush and desert was full of Ishmaelites and robbers. Well, they would tell that little guard down and take all that gold and stuff. But if you're really seeking God, God will see that you get there. See? There you are. If you're sincere, she was. She said, I want to see for myself. So here she goes. On the little caravan, night after night, day after day, the calls of the desert, the moans of the camel, the complaints of the servant, the hot whistling sun, direct rays of that Arabian sun down in there, and that sun in Africa will just burn you up. And she riding along, a queen. All the risk. She didn't care how long it took her. She wanted to see for herself. Oh, if people of the nation, when they hear that God has did anything, if they would just come and be sincere and see for yourself. You get it? Now, as she came to Solomon. She didn't come just to stay one night. He was going to see the thing too. That's the way they look. Stay with it. He's going to test it and examine it. So finally come her turn. And when she stood before Solomon, he revealed to her everything that was in her heart. Hallelujah.
ready to return, what did she say? When she gave all these gifts to Solomon, she said, the things that I heard about was right and even greater than I ever heard. She said, blessed be the God of Solomon, who is giving all this wisdom and these things. And Jesus, because she did that, being a pagan, and come and was reconciled to God by seeing the gift of God work perfectly, become a believer in God, Jesus said, you bunch of educated church-going hypocrites, he said, she'll raise up in the day of judgment and condemn you. Because she'd come from the uttermost parts of the known world at that day to see the wisdom of Solomon, and yet I say unto you that a greater than Solomon is here. I say to you tonight, brother and sister, that in the day of judgment, the Queen of Sheba will condemn the United States of America. She'll condemn the so-called Christian world. Because God can do something miraculous, and a so-called churchgoer will stand off on his side, and because of personal praises of man or dignity of man-made, self-made things that they have, they'll criticize the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And call it fanaticism. Yes. And try to oust it out. And the very words before the Congress today is to stop such meetings as this. Here's the only thing I can say about it. I'll say it as a servant of God. I say this, that it's nothing in the world but unadulterated jealousy. That's right. When Peter, James, and John had received power, Jesus gave them power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead. I can show you where God gives that power to the church, and you that don't believe in divine healing or miracles, show me where he took it away from the church. But when they receive this, the church today isn't needing power, it's needing faith to operate what power it has. You've had so much embalming fluid pumped into you that the days of miracles is past, and some old cold mud with the icicles, the spiritual icicles hanging down with 90 below zero, and somebody in there with some dead fluid to pump into you to be sure that you stay there. It's become such a place where the Spirit of God has been grieved, and any church that denies the supernatural ill dies short of them standing in this pulpit. Had received that power, look at it, just raising man. Or they thought they were dignified. And they go right out a few days later and find themselves helpless before epileptic. They could not cast the devil out. And Jesus come along and he said to them, oh, you faithless generation, how long will I suffer you? Bring him here. Oh, brother, when he come before that real jewel, he cast the devil out of him. And the disciples come to him and said, Lord, did you take your power back? He never said you don't have power. They said, why can't we do it? He never said, well, because you lost your power. He said, he called out your unbelief. A few days later from that, they found a man casting out devils who wasn't a disciple. And the man was getting the job done. He was actually getting it done. He was casting out devils. He stood around here, Jesus said, whosoever will. He said, that's me, and away he went. He was getting the job done. Right. And they were jealous because they couldn't do it. And they told Jesus,
He said, don't forbid him. For he that thought with the scatters abroad, no man can do a miracle. My name can speak light of me. And today it's nothing but petty, childlike, juvenile jealousy among the high churches that won't bring themselves down to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and practice divine healing and the powers of the Holy Ghost among the churches. Son has raised from the dead. That's either the truth or this Bible is an error. I know that it is the truth. He lives. He is not dead. As he doesn't make himself the same as he was the day gone by, then he is not alive.
Right.
For he promises, the work that I do shall you also. Even more than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. And the world has got the Bible, reads the Bible, and said, you teachers produce it. We'll believe you, raised. Until that, Mohammed's just the same as the rest of them. Buddha is the rest of them. But thanks be to God, Jesus lives. He's alive from the dead. And it's not some fictitious makeup. It's not some man's made homemade theology. Those people say the days of miracles is past. Their argument is thinner than the broth made out of the fat of a chicken to starve to death. They haven't got a leg to stand on or a scripture to stand on. Any man that can preach anything against sin has to recognize sickness as the attributes of sin.
God is
free. Amen. I mean that from my heart. You can't deal with sin without giving him its attributes. If a serpent had the big animal had his paw in your side, you just don't have to cut off his paw. Just knock him in the head. He'll take care of the paw. And when Christ died for his sin, he knocked sickness in the head of a serpent. Even death itself. And we are not dead, but we are alive. He that hears thy words and believeth on him and penny, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He conquers death, hell, the grave. Paul said when he comes to the grave, oh death, where is our faith? Oh grave, where is our victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Live. The world is hungry, but the pulpit is weak. We got the best doctors we ever had. We got the best hospitals we ever had. We got the best drugs we ever practiced with. And we got more sickness than we ever had. Why? We got the worst pulpits, the weakest we ever had. Though we got the best churches, the best educated man we ever had. But we got the weakest churches we've ever had. We got more sin in the world ever known of. Unbelief. What is sin but unbelief? You that believe us not condemned already. Right. There's your sin. Not smoking, drinking, that's the attributes of unbelief. But you're a sinner because you don't believe. When Jesus questioned, said, when I come to the earth, he didn't say, will I find churches? Will I find sincerity? Will I find teachers? Will I find them teaching the Bible? Will I find them doing this? He said, will I find any faith? You got the power, you need faith. Positionally, know where you are in Christ, then yield yourself. Hallelujah. Don't think I'm crazy. If I am, leave me alone. I'm happier this way than I was the other way. Right. I'm not crazy. That's true. I just feel, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know he liveth. Yes. For I can see him as he moves and walks. I know he's in this building right now. I know that his presence, or wherever two or three are gathered together, I'll be in their midst. I don't believe my boy give out any, I don't believe he give out prayer cards today. I told him not to, because I was going to preach. But I feel that the Holy Spirit is supposed to at this time. I believe we'll pray for the sick anyhow. I believe we'll do it. I see him come to the platform and go to ask him just a minute to wait a minute. We don't need you up here as a prayer. We don't need you up here as a prayer card. You stay where you are. You believe the mission that's been preached tonight and the message that's been preached, and you'll see Jesus Christ move on the scene. You don't need prayer cards when
the anointing of the Holy Ghost is present. He's there to heal. He's there to give whatever's given. Right. Listen, one time when they were preaching there, when Jesus went going over to on his road, off the resurrection, two people were going over on their road over to another place called Emmaus. And on the road over there, Jesus walked right out along the road and walked with them all through the day, and they didn't recognize him. Is that right? They didn't recognize him. He talked with them, and many of you people have went to church, and Jesus has helped you many times, but you didn't recognize it. He's helped you, he's blessed you, he's saved you from trouble, and you don't recognize it. Then when he got him into one room where he could gather with him and shut the door, he's done something just a little different from what a man could do. When he did that thing like he did way before he was crucified, they recognized it to be the law. He run away, got out of their sight. They run back to Jerusalem lighthearted and said, "Truly the Lord is risen." If that's the same Jesus, he's here tonight. Maybe he'll do something tonight like he did when he was here on earth. If you can be the woman with the blood issue or whatever you have, if you can look and yield your spirit to him without any confusion, no prayer cards, no way of getting up here. But if you can yield yourself to him, and I can yield myself to him and pray, "Lord Jesus, knowing that I've got to meet these people in the judgment and stand here on your word that you've raised from the dead," see if he don't call you. See if he can speak just like he always spoke. If you believe, that's the only thing you can do, is have faith in God. He said, "If thou canst believe." Now, let's bow our heads just a moment. I'm going to ask the organist, if you will, young lady, I want you just to softly card "Only Believe" while we have a word of prayer. I want everybody real quiet. I don't know. I'm just asking you. If you've got a need now for God, be just as reverent as you can and believe. And if he'll come tonight in this meeting, after this message, you've got to answer for this message. You might not have had to answer for it if you hadn't come to church tonight, but if you go to answer for it now, it's on your hands. You'll either have to wash your hands of it like Pilate did, or you'll accept it. Now, I've spoke, that's the man, but I've spoke of his word. Now, he's God. He'll confirm his word. He's being God. Now, Heavenly Father, thou who knowest all things, that your word might be fulfilled. Here's a strange audience. I know none of them. But thou dost know them. You who could sit there by the side of the well, the woman comes to you. You talk to her a few minutes. You told her, said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I don't have any husband." You said, "You got five." He said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. But we know that when the Messiah cometh, the Messiah, he will do these things. He'll show us these things." And you said unto her, "I'm he." If that was the sign of Messiah then, it's the sign of Messiah today, that he's the same yesterday, today, for us. We realize that, Lord. When the staunch, straight Jew comes named Nathaniel, and you told him who he was, told him where he come from, he said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." But the unbelievers, many of them very religious, said, "That's Beelzebub. He's a fortune teller." And you said, "If you call the Holy Ghost that, it'll never be forgiven in the world of the world to come." And you said, "These things that I do, shall you also." You know where the feast that had the carnage? Now, you were two mules of standing hitched where two ways parted. Oh, God, you know just as the Father showed you. And you said, "The things that I do, and in the same manner, by the same God, of course, it'll be done to the end of the world." Yet a little while, and the world, the unbeliever, will see me no more, yet you shall see me, for I, personal pronoun, God, he said, "I'll be with you to the end of the world. I'll be in you, doing the same work, carrying on your ministry." You said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Now yield yourself and bear fruit, and I purge you that you might bear more fruit." And Father, I yield myself to thee now, under the mighty hand of the Holy Ghost, and ask that you'll help me and bless me that I might show forth thy resurrection to this people, and that we'll praise thee in Christ Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. While you may raise your head, I want you to be reverent and praise. Well, I know his presence is here. Now your audience here from me. The reason I say this way, I've got to wait for him. And when he anoints, if he strikes to you, then I just ask you if you have a desire for God in your heart. If Jesus Christ has raised from the dead and standing here in his power, and you're out there in need, like the woman was that touched his garment, can you? Now you say, well, Brother Branham, if I come up and touch it, no, that'd be touching me. That would do no good. But you want to touch him. How do you touch him? The Bible says that he's the high priest right now, the right hand of the Father, making intercession. He's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. Is that right? If you have an infirmity, pray to him and ask and find out if God won't give you the touch and let you touch him. God in your heart like this. I don't know this man. And he don't know me. But you know my desire and you know my heart. And I want you to be merciful to me. And if you'll do that, I believe you will. I'm yielding myself to see what he would say. To see what he would do. To see how he would do it. That's up to him. May he grant it is my prayer. Now, I see the light of the that's left here now is standing over a lady. She's praying. And a lady sitting right back on the left-hand side here. She has on a little white tam. And she has a kind of a gray-looking tam it is, with a gray-looking suit, and she's praying. She's sitting right behind a colored lady. She moved her body just then. She's wearing glasses. She has dizzy spells. If that's right, lady, raise up your hand. Right straight behind that guy. That's you, right here. You, right there. Well, you won't have him no more, lady. Your face touched him. Your doubt needs to leave. That was caused from a nervous trouble, sister. Shadow is around, is gone. Of your reverence, you're in the presence of him who is life. Here's a lady sitting here with a black hat on looking at me, right here, and is standing over her. She's got a checkered dress and wearing glasses. She's suffering with something wrong with her head. The sinus trouble. She has a nervous trouble. She believes. Accept it. Believe that God is in you. And be made well. Do you? With all your heart, to do you can have it. Be in prayer. What do you think, sir? Seem like you can't kind of see a man looking at me there, trying to nervously, watching at me. Let me just talk to you a minute. You're sitting right there with a blue suit on. Do you believe with all your heart? White-headed, sitting next to the man with a beard on. You believe with all your heart? Yes, you're impossible. Maybe the microphone does not carry my voice. When an anointing strikes me, I don't know what I'm saying. But you seem to be sincere, and you keep moving yourself around. I just like to, you're right in line with me. I just like to talk to you. You believe me being his servant? You do that with all your heart. you have a need of God that you'd like for God to do, and you'd want me, if I could reveal to you what you want, would you believe with all your heart that God would give it to you? You would. All right? You look this way, and don't look at your brother, but look at Christ. And he would heal you of that rheumatism that you have. Wouldn't he? You have rheumatism, don't you? Yes, sir. And you have bursitis also, don't you? That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. You got someone else you're praying for, too, haven't you? Mm-hmm. That's a wife. She isn't here. But she's in an automobile accident and got hurt. Her legs and her body was hurt, and she's all shook up. Thus saith the Lord. That's true, isn't it? Raise your hand if that's true. You believe you're raised from the dead? To heal you, sir, I couldn't. See? But it's him. He is the healer. I'm not the... Don't be weary, little mother, sitting there, see your hand up like this. Don't get scared. And you with your hand like this. Just believe. You know God can heal your heart trouble and make you well. You believe that? You had heart trouble, didn't you? Little lady with the blue dress on, got her hair combed back. You had a nervous heart, kind of a blocked heart. When you lay down at night time, faintly, it smothers you. Wasn't that right? If that's right, raise up your hand. All right? Now you can go home and be well. Your face touches his garment. Are you believing with all of you? Somebody over in this way believes. Somebody over in this section. Hard to get to the balcony. But just believe. I see a little girl sitting with her head down. Sitting right here. Look up this way, honey. You're just a child. The little girl's like a pink little blouse on. She's weeping because what happened? That light just moved down over her just then. She was standing near her. Honey, have you got a prayer card? Nope. You don't? Don't have no prayer card? All right. Then you'd never be called up here then anyhow. Do you believe me to be God's prophet? Do you believe that Jesus has raised from the dead? That's the mother of the child sitting by her. Do you believe it, lady? Mm-hmm. Would you, sister? Or what you're here for tonight, you're praying for your eye. That's right. That is right. Isn't that right? Sure it is. And let me tell you, if you might know me being God's prophet, you've got a difficult at home. That is, your husband is not a saved man. That's right, isn't it, lady? He didn't even want you to come. Right. I'm not reading your mind. But Jesus raised from the dead. Amen. He lives. He reigns. Lady right behind him, the colored lady there. You have a stomach trouble, don't you, lady? That's right. You're not from this city. You're from a place called Albany. You live on 80th Street, don't you? Your number is 80 and you live on 1st Street. The lady next to you is your neighbor. That's right. She lives on 64. Number 64, 1st Street in Albany. She has a tumor, doesn't she? I mean, this buzz here next to you. You believe? How do I know you? I don't know you. No more than Jesus knows Peter, but he knew he was. All right. Margie, you can be healed too if you believe with all your heart. Shocks you with all that know you? It's not me that knows you, it's the Heavenly Father that knows you. You believe now with all your heart? You accept your healing? Will you believe all over the building at this time? Is that the thing he did when he was here on earth? Then it's him here with you. It's him. Do you believe now? Then believe. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may all superstitions leave the people. The devil tries to keep them in darkness. And truly they're designed to be the seed of Abraham. And I ask that you go send away this evil. Or give me the spirit of power. Satan, I wish to speak to you. You see you're exposed. Your time is nearly over. No. I stand here as God's servant. You're not afraid of me, but you are of him. But I represent him in his death, burial, and resurrection. These people represent him. And you've got your demons all bound into them.
stripped of every privilege you had. You had no legal rights. Jesus stripped you of every power you had at Calvary.